Hey, everybody. Code Pen Radio 404. Oh, my gosh.
What? 404?
This episode is missing. I literally just realized that right now after we hit record. There's no planning about the funny, this one should be missing. We should have skipped it, right? Like, yeah. Just skipped over this one.
Yeah. Don't adjust your podcast feed.
Oh, man. Like the 11th floor or whatever? No, 13th floor?
Right. You gotta skip that. It's bad luck.
Okay. Well, too late. We're doing it anyway.
No, this is 405, canonically.
That would be technical debt that I couldn't abide by.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to... I'm Steven on. Hi, Steven.
Hello.
Yeah. We're going to do infinite loops because we had to totally rejigger it for the new editor, and it's kind of interesting and better. So that makes a good podcast, doesn't it? Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Let me set it up in the quickest way possible. We have a code editor where you can write JavaScript and then we run that JavaScript for you. And we do that in an iframe for a million reasons, security being one of them. But you know what? Even that doesn't protect you from crashing a browser tab with an infinite loop. Infinite loops are stupid easy to write in JavaScript. It's like a for loop or a while loop or any kind of loop that doesn't exit. And a very, very easy way to write that is, for example, is just type while and then the parentheses, just put true so that true can never be false. So this while loop will never die. And you put some empty braces around it so that, you know, it's valid syntax and it runs and your browser will crash. I mean, you can test that anywhere. You can execute a little piece of JavaScript.
Yeah, super easy to do. And especially in CodePen where we're like automatically running just a few milliseconds after you've typed. So you might be like in the process and just like thinking for a minute, and then all of a sudden you're in this infinite loop scenario.
Exactly. Because you're just half done typing, or you just didn't think it would be a problem. Because honestly, a lot of JavaScript that people write is probably not necessarily on CodePen, where you're not in this browser environment that also has a preview.
Yeah.
It's like this double trouble situation. And it happens. It happens plenty. It happens every day. In fact, we even put some analytics behind it at one point to see like do we have to do this anymore? Because it seemed like even though we're growing in users, that perhaps it was like reducing in its necessity or something. I also, you know, these type of things, you know, we've been at it for 15 years or whatever. You know, sometimes it makes you wonder once in a while, like, have browsers dealt with this yet? Like, is there a world where they just notice that this happened and don't crash themselves? Because here's what happens when a tab freezes. It's awful. It's a disaster. It doesn't the browser doesn't even necessarily just throw up like a gray screen with a little unhappy Mac in Chrome or whatever happens in other browsers. It usually doesn't. It hangs. And then sometimes Control or Command W works to close the cap, but a lot of times it doesn't.
It's gotten better, but man, it was really bad. Like, especially early CodePen, entire browser just freezing and hanging. Now it's a little more isolated to tab, but it can also like leak into other tabs and cause other tabs to freeze and like, you know, this.
Right. It's if this there's really same awkward. Origin and stuff. Yeah, it's rough. Not good. And why does that matter? Other than it just being obnoxious, you could have unsaved work. You could get yourself in a situation where you cannot save that work. I mean, maybe best case scenario, you're taking a screenshot real quick or something. I mean, that's not acceptable on an app like this. It's never been acceptable, so we've always dealt with it. So if this has never come up for you on CodePen, it's because your old pals at CodePen got your back. And we're trying to solve this forever so that you don't ever have to experience this particular problem and do it, I don't know, as chill as possible, you know, because I don't want it to be so intense that, I don't know, that you have to even think about it, for example, or that it messes with your code in some way. Although, let's go there then. How did we used to do it? Well, we used to...
A lot of messing with code.
Yeah, we messed with your code. And it... I can't remember it ever coming up in a way that somebody is like, you're messed with my code. So in the end, it was like, okay, fine. But we called it instrumenting. I don't know if that's just our own little weird internal word or something, but it essentially meant we grabbed your JavaScript. We made an AST out of it, which is called an abstract syntax tree, so that we could kind of understand what was happening in the JavaScript. We would look for loops, and then we would insert a way to get out of that loop if we absolutely had to, if we determined that too much time has elapsed in this loop and it just isn't looking good for that loop, that we would put a continue or a break or whatever it would be in there so that it was kind of impossible to write an infinite loop. If you wrote while true, we would put our own little buster outer looper in there so that you couldn't write an infinite loop. We called that instrumenting for some reason. I think we open sourced it at one point, but it got a little confusing. And it was a Babel. Wasn't it a Babel plugin? Because Babel did it.
Right. Yeah. We were running Babel over the JavaScript. And so we had that plugin, and it would break everything down and allow us to actually inject that. And it was also dependent on like one of our own scripts we injected in the page. Right.
Well, that would be the thing that decided whether it was going to break or not. Oh, maybe right. not.
The like window.cp, the window.cp stuff, that was being injected into the pin so that was what actually controlled the logic for that Babel plugin, so that it would run like window.cp.stop execution or stop loop or something like that.
That's right. It would. That's correct. And that, there was like a little side benefit of that is that it like you could do window.cp. something, I forget, there's a blog to adjust the timing. Right. If you thought that we were too aggressive in it or something, you could like slow it down or turn it off, which is like whatever. No, like
sometimes you're using a heavy loop, you know, for sure. Like a 3D render or, you know, processing
a lot
of elements.
It was always request animation frame. It was always that it was a RAF. That
RAF.
Would, and then people would write in and, you know, we'd tell you how to deal with it or whatever. Okay. All right. That was instrumenting. And here's why that worked is because in the old pen editor, you had one HTML chunk editor piece. I hesitate to call it a file because the new editor really has files. The old editor, it wasn't really a file. And then it had one HTML and one JavaScript. We knew exactly how much JavaScript you had. It was one of those. And we would send it through our machine and we would prevent infinite loops. And that was that. If you linked up third-party JavaScript, you're on your own. And that was really rare because usually what you're linking up is like jQuery or whatever. You know, there's not going to be infinite loops in that code. There could be, but that was where we kind of drew the line. We're not going to like necessarily fix that up.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what we did. It was not a problem with speed, but, you know, it was some speed. You know, having to babelize your code and fix infinite loops is not infinitely fast, certainly.
Yeah.
But it was just heavy, you know. It was like, oh god, it was weird how we even incorporated it. We had this Babel plugin like in its own repo, and it wasn't even in our code base for some reason, which surely was our problem, but the whole thing was a little janky. And then we were so nervous about the new editor. It was like, hey, we no longer have one JavaScript file. We don't know what it's called. It could be any. It could be 15 JavaScript files. The new pen editor really leans into, you know, have multiple files. Do whatever you want with JavaScript. And then we're like, oh, crap. What are we going to do here? Can we still reliably instrument all these files in the same way we were doing before? Do we have to? No wonder we put the analytics in. We're like, how important is this anyway? Only to find out it's still pretty important.
Yeah. The way it just, it really just takes over the browser when it happens. And so if you're editing code and working in the browser, like you just don't want to get in that scenario. So we had to find a solution for it. We had many conversations about this, and I think Alex finally came up with a brilliant idea to get
this
something
like
working.
Classic Alex too. He's like, I got this solved in my mind, and I was like, sure, dude, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, let's see how reality is on that, but yeah, let's hear it.
But then he, you know, much like other people in my life, he ends up being right a lot of the time, and I'm like, God. Damn, you know?
At least a couple times. Let's be wrong. Come on.
And he called it a heartbeat right away, I think. And this is what a heartbeat is. It's like the inside of your demo, that the heart is you. Oh, isn't that pretty? Now I like it even more. Is your code. And we have to do this. We have to inject a script for a whole bunch of other reasons that we're already doing it. We're doing it to make the console work. We're doing it to make live view work. We're doing auto refresh. Well, I guess that's live view. And this is another thing it has to do. So there's some reason like we need to execute a little bit of code inside of that iframe along with your demo. Not all the time, not when you deploy this site, but generally when you're doing code penny things, we have to do that. So inside that script, one more job that it has is every, I don't know, how fast is it, Steven? Every few milliseconds or something?
I think between like 300, maybe like 100 to 300 milliseconds.
It's not like absolutely flying, but it's pretty fast. Mm-hmm. It heartbeats. It goes ba-bump. I mean, it's not the double bump. Really, it's just it just sends a cross-origin little message up to the parent who's listening. So we're like the doctors with our little stethoscope on your iframe, being like, is the heartbeat there? Is the heartbeat there? Is the heartbeat there? Is the heartbeat there? Yes, 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 yes. Good. That's what we want to happen. That can happen an infinite amount of time. If you don't hear the heartbeat, we... as absolutely quick as possible, rip that iframe off the page. Literally iframe.remove, like that DOM method, be like, it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And somehow, absolutely miraculously, the browser gives you just enough time, even with that infinite loop actually running, that it respects it and is like, it garbage collects or whatever it does. It dumps that JavaScript out of memory and it doesn't freeze the browser window.
It took so much testing to get that timing right. Because there really is just like this window of time where it's starting to hang. It's starting to freeze up. But the browser still has control over it, I guess, at that point. And right. So if you remove it, it's gonna dump it and keep the outer tab safe.
Yeah. I was so skeptical that was going to work. I'm like, dude, you don't think we've tried that before? Like some kind of kill the iframe and redo it again. But it works now. But I think there was one crucial little piece that I think you discovered that makes it actually work. Like the heartbeat's nice in theory, but it doesn't actually work unless you do this special thing where you like force the iframe to be at a different thread or something. Do you remember what
right.
that was?
Right. So one of the things I was mentioning earlier, like, you know, 10 years ago, like browsers, this was a huge, huge ordeal, but they started to implement like better tab separation and things like that. But still tabs that were on the same origin would share resources, basically a way to just help with memory management, help things run a little more efficiently. And so when that was the case, if a tab from one domain crashed, another unrelated tab, but on the same domain would also freeze up. And so you get in this weird state where you've got an infinite loop in a pin, on one pin, and your other pin is freezing up too. And that was totally unacceptable and so hard to figure out and debug. But in researching that, we came across the origin agent cluster. That's a
cool,
horrible name. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it makes
origin
sense.
Origin agent cluster. Okay.
Agents that are on the same origin are clustered together, I guess is the
HTML file when you serve it or something has that header?
It's one of the like headers for the request that you can send back from the server that indicates that you want this instance basically to be treated separately from other instances on the same origin. So we've got like a domain name that the previews are being served from. And when the previews are going out, we add this header to it so that the browser is supposed to isolate that particular instance of it to its own.
Yeah. And that gives us, I think, just enough milliseconds to make this work. That pulling right. that iframe, then it's just a miracle that it works, really.
Well, that helps both in like the cross tab situation and in like the outer kind of browser that's hosting the iframe. It helps isolate that too, so that it's a little more it's not going to affect the other as much.
Yeah, it works fine. You want to show it? Does it do? Does it? I guess. I mean, it's not that interesting, but it's kind of like the screen just goes like, dude, you had an infinite loop. And then it gives you this opportunity to fix it and save it again. What's also kind of nice is if you ran it again without fixing the bug, well, it's just going to trigger the heartbeat problem again. And that's fine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We spent some time on the UI for it. Let me see if I can, if you're listening on a podcast, Chris is going to narrate exactly what I'm doing as I do it.
He's typing the W key now and then the H key. The I key has been pressed. Now he wrote while true with the braces and there it goes.
Right. So I added an infinite loop in the script. And, as soon as that executed in the browser, I start the editor on the outside is listening for the heartbeats of the iframe, but because there's that infinite loop, it doesn't get any additional heartbeats because the tab is freezing up. And so we rip that iframe out, give this special little message, and then there's a refresh button. You can click that to try again, but we're still going to catch infinite loops so that you don't get into that bad scenario.
So that's there because you could also have you could turn off the setting for auto updating preview. And then it would just sit there saying, uh-oh, forever. So you got to have that refresh button in there. It looks like it's 50 seconds for an interval, but it will wait two intervals before it kills it. So it's basically a second it'll wait, which seems fast, but that's so slow.
Yeah.
It's amazing that it works that, even with that long. Your computer can sit there for a full second doing while true, which is, I don't know, millions of loops at least. You know?
Well, one of the keys to it was the script that we inject. It's like one of the first things that runs on the page. And because of that, we're able to send out a heartbeat before any other JavaScript executes. And that allows us to actually get that initial heartbeat message, which we use to kind of start the timer. And we're listening then and expecting within every 500 milliseconds to continue getting a heartbeat. Then I think after 3 seconds, we stop because it just kind of gets noisy. If you're like clicking around or like playing a video or something like that in the tab.
Oh, I forgot about that. We kind of stop caring about infinite loops after a few seconds, don't we?
Right. You know, if you've got some kind of loop behind like a click listener or something like that, that there's only so much we can do about that. But it was a little too aggressive because there's a lot of like heavy demos if you're doing a 3D thing or whatever. Like
so that request animation frame problem is gone, kind of probably. Ooh, that's nice. Oh, what a nice touch, us. Good job. That's nice. So it'll catch these immediate problems and then let you go after that. That's great. And this is all very adjustable. I mean, there's just a constants file with all this adjustable stuff in there that we could tune if we needed to. So now, crucially, we don't have to touch your JavaScript at all. So processing is all the faster for it. And, any errors that could have happened during that processing are no longer relevant. And you could have 100 JavaScript files. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This heartbeat thing is totally separate from all that. So I think we did it. That's the loop tool. I think people should know that generally. It's almost like there's not much to open source. It's like if somebody else was in this situation, you should just know that serve your iframe with origin agent cluster header so that it gets its own little thread or whatever. Kind of like how browsers these days, different tabs don't, they can crash independently and it's cool or whatever. So know that. And then know that you can do a little cross origin message sending, and if you determine that you need to kill that iframe, you these days, if you have origin agent cluster on there, you have enough time to kill that iframe if you need to. So there doesn't really need to be a library or anything. It's really not that much code. It's not interesting.
It's a few hundred lines of code, but it's relatively straightforward. One little hiccup that we did run into it with is various thread blocking functions. That's not as common anymore with modern JavaScript, but things like alert or confirm or prompt technically block the thread from running. So we weren't able to send out any heartbeats. So if the only thing in your JavaScript was alert and you popped up a message, that was causing the iframe to stop sending the heartbeats and we would kill it, and it was just a bad setup.
Yeah, so, that's interesting enough. Then I take back my open source thing. Maybe we should document this in some better way. How do we stop that?
So we're actually overriding those browser default functions. Just, I think it's just those three, alert, confirm, and prompt. And yeah. For those, let me see, we're adding like a set timeout and kind of watching for things there. But yeah, basically we stop the heartbeat if one of those is called, just to make sure that we're not needlessly destroying the preview.
Nice. So you can still do an alert, obviously. It almost like cancels your ability to have infinite loop be stopped, but it would kind of stop it anyway.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, interesting. That's more interesting than I thought, actually. Thanks, podcast listeners.
I forgot about the tab visibility, too. If the tab is rendered in the background, like, you know, you had a pin that refreshed while you were looking at another tab, the browser wouldn't actually execute the JavaScript or executes it in like this slow mode. Have you ever noticed that?
Interesting.
Like if you've got request animation frame in a background tab, it's only going to run like once every like 5 seconds or something like that. Like it's weird. Like it slows the tab down to prevent it from hogging resources if it's not actively focused. So in that case, we do have an additional check for if that's actually visible, to make sure that we're not killing the tab because we didn't send out the heartbeats enough time.
I remember this bug because it was us working and we'd like, because we always have like 10 tabs open because we work here. You'd go back to a tab you had closed and it'd be uh-oh'd out. You'd be like, what's up with that, yo?
Yeah.
So this fixed that. Yeah, it's interesting doing a podcast on it this much time after we did it. Because it's like, it's fine. It's just doing its job. Like, there's no problems. We're like, we're perfect. We did it amazingly. Not forgetting all the, like, very detailed bug fixy crap we had to do.
Yeah.
We were our own private beta back then. Mm-hmm. Darn it. All right, that's pretty fun. All right, well, stay tuned for future episodes on this stuff. I think I'm going to get Alex up next if you're really lucky. Let's see, get some architecture stuff. So, all right, see you later.
Bye.